Hello, welcome to Live Well Lifestyle Seminar with Perry A. This is our opportunity to talk about healing the soul. We talk about healing the body with clay, and oftentimes I find people who still have difficulty healing, and when we look at their lifestyle and what's going on with their lives, you see a lot of turmoil and stress can really wear down the immune system so diseases can enter. And so we are addressing the issue of our lifestyles, and I want to today discuss, last month, we worked on self-discovery, and I want to follow up on that today and see what you found. I had several people who called me after the seminar and expressed that they got a lot out of it and had really found out some things about themselves that sort of surprised them. And so it's very important today to go back over this and see what we have discovered. So I would like to take this time to invite you to come on with your questions or answer. I'm going to review a little bit of what we did last week and share what I found, and hopefully that will help you to share some. So we want to know what your answers were from the questions. What discoveries did you make about yourself? And the first question is, what gives you the most joy in your life? I had to sit and think about that because, wow, there's some things that I love, being with people and meeting new people and talking about clay. And I love going to my grandson's events and watching him as he grows and excels in sports and learns. And I love being with family. And I truly love my work. I think I have the best job in the world, which is educating people about clay, something that will benefit them and help them. And I like meditating. I like watching water flow. I could just sit for hours by a river with a book and be still and quiet and enjoy nature. I'm not a hiker, biker type. I'm a sit and watch the water flow and look at nature around you and see the butterflies and things. And I realized that the things that I really enjoy the most are pretty much free. And it's nothing monumental that needs a great deal of money to have. It's just appreciation for what's around you. And when I looked at my core values, I discovered I have a very strong value for family ties. One of the things that brings me joy is being with my family and being close to my daughters and their families, and that those extended families. And I have a value for caring. Now, this was something that came up, I kept noticing, that keep coming up, was I have a caring nature. I'm very compassionate about people, and I care about them. And I have a value for integrity, of being as honest as I can be, and not being afraid to express myself and my thoughts. Even if they differ, not in an argumentative way, but just in a, that's interesting, I see it a little differently. And, you know, two visions are good. I'm willing to look at yours. Would you be willing to look at mine? That sort of position, not in a, oh, you have to do it my way stance. I don't like conflict. That came up. I will walk away from negative energy. And if it's in my house, I may ask you to leave or take it outside and finish your argument with someone, but I just don't want the energy around me. What do you most love and appreciate about yourself? Gee, that one took a little introspection, and I had to sit with that one a while. you know, the ego gets involved here. Can I say things about myself without looking egotistical? But the things I most love and appreciate by myself is my ability to bring people together. I do it unconsciously. I love people, and I want to introduce all my friends together. I have such a plethora of friends from varied backgrounds, and it's fascinating when we get together, and I go around, I introduce them, and I mention the greatness of each of them, what they're excelling in, what they're doing. And then we find these connections, and the group, the different people click off on each other and have so much in common. It's fascinating to be in that environment and watch it. So I like to bring people together, to call my friends and say, okay, it's time for a power lunch. We need to get together. And I send out an invitation. I never know how many are going to show up, and we meet at a restaurant that's kind of quiet, and everybody orders their own off the menu. It's kind of Dutch treat. But it's just a time to bring people together, because I guess I don't have the facility. I live kind of far out from a lot of them. A lot of my friends live in Austin. I live in Kyle. So it's a long journey to come to my house for something. So it's just easier to pick a restaurant. And since I'm between two towns and have friends in two towns, I do it in two different places. And I seem to be able to connect with people and sincerely care about them and let them know that. And let's see. So what have you discovered about yourself from the self-discovery work? I would like to see if anyone on the phone lines would like to open up and discuss something. And maybe you weren't here last time. You can go to the archives and look at that one. It's where we were looking for what we can discover about ourselves, why we do what we do, what drives us, what pushes us, what pulls us, and what qualities have we discovered that values that are important to us, that if they seem to pop up no matter what we do, that these values will follow us, and then that they are a core foundation and a building block, if you will, for anything we do. The integrity is very important to me. Spirituality goes with loving people. And there are different ways you can express that. Just a plethora of things, idea. You know, some people are very extremely organized, and that organization ability is very important to them. Some people are very decisive. They make decisions very easy. That's quality. It's a quality I always wish I could perfect a little bit more. I've been working on it. And when you know that your decision isn't etched in blood, so to speak, it's easier to make a decision. But sometimes we think, if I make a decision, what if I make the wrong decision? Well, you just eliminated something that doesn't work so you can go and find what does work. It's a stepping stone. Everything is a stepping stone. It's not a failure. It's not a pass or fail. It's what works best in following that direction in your life. So I'm going to ask people on the phone. We don't have too many people today. If you have something you would like to add to this conversation, if you will press star 2, that will open the line, and I can you can talk with me and share your ideas of what you've discovered about yourself. And while that's happening, I'm going to address the questions. What do other people love and appreciate most about you? And it was to ask 3 people that you're close to this question and make a list of the things they see in you. And I know I did that some time ago, and one of the things they saw in me was boldness, that I was very bold. And that's probably the last thing I would have picked for myself. And then when I started looking back at my life, at times when I made certain decisions, they were bold. When I decided to go to college and major in animal husbandry, and I was the only girl in 750 boys. And it was kind of a scary moment. I thought, oh my gosh, what have I done? But I followed through with it, got my degree, and here I am using so much of what I learned in chemistry and biology, sociology, veterinary science, in my study and understanding of clay. So it comes full circle. Just got back from a fifth reunion with some of my college friends, and that camaraderie is still there, the spirit, the things we loved about college. It was a wonderful time to go back and reunite with them. So what do other people love and appreciate most about you? You will find some surprising answers there that we can't see in ourselves. So don't be timid about asking that of people. And I'm going to go back to the question page, and I have a comment here from Karen who said, I just want to say thanks for sharing. Thank you, Karen. We've talked several times, and she's a special being. You know, it's one of those I feel connected to, and I hope Karen feels the same way. It's bonding with people. It's being open and honest with them and creating an environment where people can show up as who they are. Can you create an environment where people are safe to be who they are? That's unconditional love. That's one of my goals and what I strive for. And I have another question for you. This wasn't last week, but it's a little more of self-discovery. And it's, how do you know when you are loved? I want you to think about that. How do you know when you are loved? We all see love in different forms, and we recognize we are loved by different actions. Sometimes it's receiving material gifts. Sometimes if you've been raised in an abusive family, you recognize your love when someone yells at you. Now, that sounds backwards, but it's when you get attention, and sometimes that's the only attention you get. Not supportive attention, but that's why we attract to abusive people sometimes, because it's familiar, it's a comfort zone. Crazy as it may sound, it's somewhat like that. So how do you know when you are loved? And when I asked myself that, I had to think back many years ago. I was married and we lived on a ranch. And when you drive out into the pasture, whoever was driving would stop, and the passenger would get out and open the gate and close it. If the gate's closed when you get there, you close it when you go through, because you don't know what cattle are in there that could get out. It's just standard, you know, don't leave the barn door open when you go out if it was closed when you came in. It was closed for a reason. So we drove up in one pasture, and this gap was a little bit harder than most of them to open. And you have to, it's a barbed wire gap is what it's called, and it's got a fence post with wire attached to it, and then there's another post with a little loop that goes over the top of the post where you're closing the fence. I'm sure you've got a good visual of that in your mind, but only if you've been through a barbed wire gap before. So I was going to get out and open the gate, and my husband stopped and looked at me, and he said, that's okay, I'll get it. He got out, opened the gate, pulled it back, got back in the truck, drove through, got out again, went back and closed it. And I felt very loved, respected, and appreciated. And I was actually felt a great romantic connection to him at that moment. I just wanted to lean over and hug and kiss him. I just felt cherished, you know. I love it when a gentleman stands up when you come to or leave the table. I love it when someone pulls out their chair for me. I love Harry, whatever his name is, on American Idol. Well, I can't think everybody's name. There's Keith. I'm blank on the little girl's name. Joe is very popular, and I'm just sitting here blank as I can be. Anyway, every time she walks up, he never sits down until he pulls out her chair and seats her, and then he sits down. that is a gentleman, and that is something that just makes me swoon and fall in love with someone, because it's respect, it's dignity, it's I care about you. Here, let me lay down my cape for you. You know, it's just very romantic to me. I love those sort of things. So how do you know when you're loved? My grandson, for my daughter this year for Mother's Day, he planned an event, and he made a poster, and it said, "Happy Mother's Day, welcome to Jack's IHOP." And he had this poster he brought in and put up for her, and then he handed her a menu he typed out on his computer with a little help from some adults, and they made a menu where she could pick her breakfast, what she wanted, and she chose an omelet and a croissant with cream cheese on it and sliced tomatoes and coffee. And he went back. He was the waiter. He brought the dishes in to her, sat there grinning from ear to ear. So he made an IHOP Sunday morning Mother's Day gift in her bedroom. And I thought that was very, very, I mean, you know, he could have gone, if he had had all the money in the world and could have given her a car, I don't think it would have meant any more to her. Things like that, when you give of yourself, are so meaningful. And I thought, what a cherished, precious gift that he gave them. I asked him the other day, I was talking to him, and I said, "Jack, have you given any thought to what you want to be when you get out of college and school and go out in the world, what you want to do for a living?" And he looked at me and he said, "Well, Mina, if I don't get drafted by the NFL to be wide receiver, then I think I want to be a cop." And I said, "Really? Why?" And he said, "Well, they help people and I like to help people. I like to be of service." And he said, "The other day I went into Walmart," I may have told this story because I just love it. And he said, "The lady in front of us was older and she had her basket full of stuff. So I walked around and helped her unload her basket and put it on the belt. And then when she got to the other end," you know, they always put them in little sacks and put them in those ringers at Walmart. "He was standing there to take them and put them in her basket for her and ask her if she needed any help out. And she said no, but she thanked him very much. And he said, you know, that thank you just made me feel so good. It feels good to be of service and to help people." And I just had to hold back the tears. And when I retell that story and when I told his mother, I got teary-eyed. But I thought, what beautiful. You know, he knows now he wants some job where he can be of service or benefit people. Now, his first love is sports, and he'd really like to play football. And I guess that's a service because it entertains a lot of us on Saturdays and Sundays watching the ball games. So how do you know when you are loved? Give it some thoughts, and if you have some answers you'd like to pop out and share with us, I'd love to hear them. I love receiving flowers. It's very special to receive flowers. I think there was one time when my husband and I were married, and I was in Houston on my birthday, and he had forgotten my birthday, and he said, "What am I going to do?" And he asked a friend, and he said, "Just send her some flowers." Well, it was in August, and I was coming home the very next day, and we were away, and the florist won't deliver the flowers unless you're there. They won't just leave them at an apartment in Houston. And so they called and said, the next day, and said, "We have some flowers to deliver for you," and tried to deliver them yesterday, but no one was there. "Would you like us to deliver them today?" And I said, "Well, I'm leaving in a few minutes, and I'm driving to Seymour. There's nowhere I could keep them that they wouldn't wilt. So just give them credit, and I appreciate the thought." And I carried the mental image of those flowers with me all the way back home with a big smile on my face. So that's the joy that brought me. So I'm not getting any response. I don't know if we don't have anybody on today, or maybe you're just bashful about speaking out. There are not too many on the phone line. So I'm going to go on with the rest of it, and we'll just pretend like there are people there that don't want to speak out. And if you'd like to email me, you can email me at perrya@austin.rr.com. That's perrya@austin.rr.com. Or you can call me at 512-262-7187, and we can chat. Okay, now for the rest of the day, the can-do card I drew for this session was, I am willing to learn. The more I learn, the more I grow. No matter how old I am, I can always learn more, and I do so with confidence. I love that. I never want to stop learning. And being that, I think that's why I love this business so much. I constantly am learning about clay and sharing the information. I learn from our customers things that work, and it's just amazing to keep using your mind. I think people grow old when they quit using their mind, when their hearing goes and their eyes go, they can't watch TV, they can't stay engaged in what's going on about them. That's when we get old and are ready to go. The quality of our life is gone. So I constantly learn. I am buried in a new book called The Handbook of Clay Science. It's a lot of chemistry. I am just immersing myself in it. I'm having to look up words and get an understanding as I go. So it's really putting me back into school. There are two books that are 800 pages, and it's just full of information. And a lot of it is way over my head, so I have to go back and spend a lot of time breaking it down. And that's learning. So what do you do different today? You know, sometimes you need to jumble up your order of events. We get up and we do everything the same way. We get out of bed, we brush our teeth, we get in our shower, you da-da-da-da-da. Mix it up a little bit. When you go to work, take a different route. See what you notice. There may be a message sitting there for you somewhere. I'm a great believer in finding messages, and particularly in when you take a different route, you're more aware of what's around you. The wisdom card that I selected was, I'm taking the next step for my healing. And in this case, I wanted to substitute healing with growth. But when I think about my purpose for starting these, healing is very appropriate. Because when we can heal our mind and our attitude, that affects our body, right? And it says, I am taking the next step for my healing. The moment I say positive affirmations, I step out of the victim role. I am no longer helpless. I acknowledge my own power. And these sessions lately have been about acknowledging our own power and coming to terms with our own greatness and how great we are. And then I had a closing thought that I found from Dr. Phil. I love Dr. Phil's wisdom. He actually grew up in a town 30 miles from where I lived in Seymour when we were ranching and raised, where I raised my children. And he was from Mundy, Texas. And so I knew his dad and his mother and his sister, so I feel anytime I see something by him, I feel a very closeness there. It's like he's a neighbor, and I want to read about it. And he had this thought, and I thought this was so important. I think one of the biggest reasons people are ineffective or unsuccessful is that they never clearly declare what they want. It sounds so simple, but ask yourself, do I know what is most important to me? You've got to have a goal in mind, or you will never have the opportunity to claim it. If you don't have one, then you're like an unguided missile. So what is it you want to achieve? Make a goal, have a plan, write something down, even if it's a small one. An intention for today. Intentions are like goals. So what is it that you want? If you don't know what you want, how will you know when you get it? The same thing, how do you know you're loved? If you don't know, if you can't recognize ways you're loved and express it to the people who love you and want to show you love, how do you expect them to read your mind and know what how to treat you so that you're loved? And it's up to us to teach people how to treat us. That's very important, because they have no idea. And if, you know, they say something that offends you, be honest and open and share it, and just give your feelings on it and tell them what you'd like to hear. So I was fortunate that I had a friend one time who asked me that question, how do you know when you're loved? And then I was inundated with sweet little gifts and cards and flowers and things like that. That was very nice. And he did open car doors too. So, well, it looks like we're about out of time for now. I'm going to go back over to the Q&A again and see if anyone has added anything, and I don't see anything coming in. It's been quiet today. It's been my joy to be with you and to share this. A copy of the notes for today will be on the posted in the archives, and Cheryl will send out a notice there, and I believe on there there's contact information about how to reach me by phone or email, or you can re-listen to them. But give it some thought today. How do you know when you're loved, and what is it that you really want? Just can you define it in one sentence or two sentences? What is it that brings you great joy? Are you doing something that allows you to be in an environment that feeds your soul? We are so good about feeding our bodies, but feeding our soul with things that brings us joy. You know, when I worked in downtown Austin on my lunch break, I was close to the river, and I'd take a go by and grab a lunch, and I'd go down, and there was a little gazebo there by the river, and I would just sit there in the shade and watch the ducks and the swans and the water flow, and it was very peaceful, and people walking their dogs and pets. Just to be out for 30, 45 minutes in nature fed my soul. So what is it you can do this week to feed your soul? Take an opportunity to get out while the weather is nice, and it's a beautiful day out today in Texas, and I hope wherever you are as well. Flowers are blooming, trees are getting green, the richness of the colors of spring are everywhere. Enjoy this day that God made for you, and be blessed. This is Perrier signing out.